99.9 The Fan presents the Adam and Joe Podcast on WRALSportsFan.com and our new WRAL Sports Fan app.
So, you may have heard this before, but prior to even really getting to the Super Bowl, both Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator, and Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, had both agreed to become the head coaches of the Detroit Lions and Indianapolis Colts, respectively. So Matt Patricia was headed to Detroit. Remember, he spurned the Giants to go to Detroit. People were like, "Whoa, you turned down the Giants?" Well, the Lions are a lot closer to winning today. And Matthew Stafford is at least 4, maybe 5 years younger than Eli Manning. And McDaniels is going, "Well, he's got Andrew Luck with the Colts, so it's ready-made, man. You got a superstar quarterback, blah, 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 blah." So Matt Patricia took the job. He went to Detroit. Josh McDaniels said, no thanks. Tuesday, he called the Colts, and he had every intention of following through, and then, like Urban Meyer, went to that workout and saw Tim Tebow stretching and just could not retire.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels had a conversation with Bill Belichick, and Belichick offered to ramp up the mentorship of Josh McDaniels. At that point, everything that comes next in the Adam Schefter article, every single thing that comes next in that article after the Bill Belichick mentorship line, everything else you know is an absolute lie. There's no way that Belichick looks at McDaniels as, "I'm mentoring him."
Yeah, there's no way.
So no, it just, that's not the way Belichick works.
That, it's like the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers thing. There was no mentorship from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
Taking it
was Brett
you
Favre.
Under my wing.
Brett Favre was out there getting his stats out there winning. Aaron Rodgers was just playing catch with himself until it was finally time for him to take over. Although this does open up a couple of questions. First off, let's start with the Colts. What the hell do they do? Although Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, was the first to report this story over the weekend, that they got the feeling that McDaniels was starting to get cold feet, wavering on the idea of being the next head coach, to the point where they actually had interviews ready to go just in case. And apparently that started happening today when
it
became official.
Yesterday, last night.
Yes.
The Colts tweeted out plans for their, 3:30?
Press conference.
Press conference to introduce Josh McDaniels. We're sitting at the hockey game last night, Alec and I, and like, and it just comes up. Wait, the Colts just tweeted this out. They didn't read the story?
Well,
story was reported at like 7 o'clock.
But there was, the theory goes that they did this to put pressure on McDaniels to either follow through with being the next Colts job head coach and take the job, or to just, let's accelerate this.
He had already
but
told
at that
them
point
he wasn't
said
coming.
No. So, that existed. I am curious what the Colts are going to do with the assistant coaches that had already signed contracts to be on the staff under McDaniels.
Oh, well.
Owner Jim Irsay, I think earlier today, it was reported that he's going to honor these contracts, or they're just going to get another head coach, and that this is going to be, all right, here's your staff. Good luck finding the next coach that's going to bring on a staff that he didn't want to hire. Okay.
That's awesome.
That's why I jerked about Herm Edwards taking the job. Just insert him. He doesn't know what he's doing at this point.
He went to a place that he was told that the offensive and defensive coordinators were still going to be there.
Yep.
They both bolted. Did Herm hire the rest of the staff? Or did he have people hire them for him?
I don't even know, man. So that's in play. Although if I'm Irsay or if I'm an assistant coach that just took that job, wouldn't you want to be let out of that contract? Should I not be given the option? Like, no, you're gonna be the coach here next year. You're gonna be an assistant coach next year. I'm like, well, maybe I don't want to anymore. Because I came here to take the job with McDaniels. I don't know who the hell the next coach is gonna be. And if it's okay, let's say I do coach next year with a new guy, I can surely tell you that, well, I won't be on the staff the following year.
Just looking at it logically, right? Logically, if those coaches want to pursue other opportunities,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Irsay and Greg Ballard, who is the – I think it's Greg Ballard, who is the the new GM there. Or
Chris
the GM,
Ballard.
Chris Ballard. Kevin? Kevin. Everybody's Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin,
I'm sure Ballard will say, yeah, if you want to go take another job, that's fine. But we're going to honor your contract here. I mean, what choice do they have? They signed contracts. McDaniels had an agreement to become the head coach. The whole point of those other assistants signing contracts was based on the fact that McDaniels agreed to be the head coach. There's no way to spin, well, he hadn't signed his name yet. Shut up with that.
That is where the Colts really, truly messed up.
Not allowed to sign a contract.
But in the history of these types of stories, does it always not come back to you didn't sign the contract?
But you're legally not allowed to.
So if you're legally not allowed to sign the contract, then maybe you legally should not be putting that staff together already. That's just as simple as that. Now, this has happened before in the NFL.
I don't think you can put teams at a disadvantage like that. I just don't think you can. You want to establish?
I'm not trying to absolve McDaniels. McDaniels did this so poorly that his agent actually terminated their relationship today.
Well, you know what? There was a complicating factor there. You know what
the complicating factor was?
He's also Ballard's agent.
Yeah. Whoops.
Well, come on.
Whoops.
Really?
All right, now.
He had no idea this was going
to
happen.
To the Patriots.
My agent didn't know I was going
to
do this.
To the Patriots. Josh McDaniels, brilliant offensive mind, all right? I don't think anybody's going to question the idea that he is not good at what he does as an offensive guy, okay? But we've already seen this play.
Except in Denver.
Well, here's the problem. We've seen McDaniels as a head coach in Denver, and that didn't work out so well. Oh. And the prevailing thought is that McDaniels, while he might be gifted in terms of how he sees offense and what he wants to do, not so gifted when it comes to people skills. I guess that would be the way to put it. Bedside manner.
Oh, no.
Not a really good manager of people.
Not a lot of former players in Denver. Big fans.
No, not at all. So, my curiosity is, if you're Robert Kraft and there's some sort of arrangement that you're going to be the head coach in waiting, which leads to some Rooney Rule complications, which, you know, that's deeper into the weeds. But if you're Robert Kraft, you want to entrust your franchise with this guy? Who is no proven track record.
Well, why do you think he's staying in New England?
There'd be no other reason to do it,
He's not afraid of the Colts job. There's no way he's afraid of being Andrew Luck's head coach.
No.
Or Jacoby Brissett, who they worked with in New England, who proved to be a pretty good quarterback in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of that job. Is there any question that sooner rather than later, Bill Belichick will leave the Patriots, and McDaniels is going to become. He's going to ascend to the throne. Because Adam Schefter in his story today made a point to say, there's no agreement in place. Bull, there's no agreement in place.
Why else would you stay?
There's just nothing in writing in place.
It was basically just another verbal agreement, just like he had with the Colts. This is the next one, which, that's another issue. How many times do these coach-in-waiting things ever work out? Sometimes you never get around to that point. Sometimes it leads to an ugly transition of power.
Oh, this is not going to be ugly at all.
Or in other situations.
Would it surprise you if Bill Belichick retired in a week?
To pull a Jets part two?
No. If Belichick just said, you know what? I won. Let's let Joshy. My mentoring here is over.
It's all right. I did a week. I showed him where I keep all my stuff. Now
I showed
I'm
him
out.
Where the videos are.
Yeah, here's where I keep the videos. Here's where the spy cameras are. Here's how you jam the frequencies of opposing defenses. I'm going to put the keys on the table. Make sure you lock everything up on your way out. Here's the code of the security. Peace out. I'm going fishing.
There's more about this that we have to
but
get
here's
to.
The other thing, though. If you're McDaniels, are we going to hitch our wagon to a Colts franchise or a Patriots franchise that doesn't have Tom Brady in the future? What do we always talk about with the Patriots? Once Belichick's out the door and Tom Brady decides that he's not going to play until 50, what's going to happen to that organization?
No, if you're Josh McDaniels, my choice is working for Jim Irsay or Robert Kraft.
Oh, I'm going to work for Robert Kraft.
End of discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to work with Robert Kraft.
Here's the thing. If you're McDaniels and you take the Colts job, which he did, without knowing that Belichick might be considering retiring much sooner than you anticipated, then you go and you take that job. You can always come back after 3 years in Indianapolis if Belichick's going to be around. But here's the other thing, because we had, according to the story, new information.
Oh.
And new information for Josh McDaniels was, you know, he realized that he has, by the way, he has four kids, age 3, 6, 10, and 12. And because he signed a long contract to maintain his coaching career with the Patriots, they'd be able to stay in the same school system. This was new information. Like, did you just now remember?
Oh, I have kids.
That you have four kids?
I have kids. Whoops.
This is the new information. I mean, this is, again, I tweeted out the article earlier, and with a warning, make sure you're wearing boots. Because there's so much BS in this article. I almost feel bad for Adam Schefter for writing it, because I couldn't write this without GTFOH. Just get out of here. Get out of here. This is all garbage. But good, I'm fine. Josh McDaniels will be the head coach of the New England Patriots in a year, probably, or less. End of story.
To me, the bigger story is the fact that Matt Patricia, who is now the head coach of the Detroit Lions, cut his hair.
Oh, did he cut his hair?
And shaved didn't shave the beard, but he trimmed the beard.
Oh, what a cop out.
Right. Do you, man. Do you.
I fully
expect you to show up in a new Detroit Lions hoodie, windbreaker, whatever, with a Detroit Lions hat on backwards, with a pencil in your ear, with an unkept beard that you haven't trimmed in 2 years.
Did he ever use the pencil? Do we know that he ever?
No, the pencil. The pencil was a prop. It was always there. It was a good look, though. I liked it. It's kind of like how I do like the rolled up sleeve things all the time to like, show you I'm busy. Right, I'm always busy.
Well, I don't like the way sleeves look when they're all the way down on a dress.
Or when I wear a tie,
right?
I always leave the top button unbuttoned, loosen it up a little bit.
Depends on the
make it look like I'm busy all the time. I'm just constantly moving, man. So Patricia is essentially a fraud. There's no other way around it. You went
but at
corporate.
At least he kept his word.
You went corporate. That he basically was, I'm the punk rock band. I got signed by a major label. We're going to clean up our act. He is when Metallica and the members of Metallica cut their hair and they went modern rock. I got no time for it. Stay true to yourself, man. I wanted the beard. I wanted the long hair. I wanted the backwards hat. I wanted the punk rock look. I wanted this in the NFL. Instead, you sold out.
All right, so we have this basketball game, and it is the Brotherhood versus the Family. And I say that just because it annoys some people.
Oh, boy.
But regardless of all of that, Duke's coming off a game in which Mike Krzyzewski called his team, for the first time, a difficult team to coach. And he sort of went into an explanation today at Duke's press conference. Carolina's was yesterday. Duke's was today. He went into a kind of an explanation as to what made his team difficult to coach. And he said he had some specific examples.
I don't know what happened. You know, like someone had a laser from the stands and said, we're going to make you mind dead or whatever. But you know, you go here. And, oh, well, that didn't happen. So.
Is that a big problem? Mind lasers.
Yeah.
Have you
had
experience with those before?
Not the older the team, the less experience you have with those. And it doesn't have to be a laser to your mind. It can be from his mind to something else that's going on.
All right, we're going to get to the actual
sharks
real
with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
We're going to get to the substantive part of what Coach K said in a second. But he actually, before the clip started, he went on about how six times during the game against St. John's, he drew up an out-of-bounds play. And six times, the team went onto the court and didn't do what they had drawn up. Now, I don't know if that is 100% accurate or if he's embellishing for effect. Doesn't really matter. Basically, they were not following directions. And then he went to mind lasers. Now,
Do you have any other thing that could explain it other than mind lasers?
Well, to the substantive part of what he said, he essentially just said, those guys were not dialed into what we were trying to do.
I mean, they were in New York.
Because they were young.
Maybe they were in New York, you know, because they were in New York. Will Smith showed up with Tommy Lee Jones and the pen came out and they flashed him like Men in Black.
That is what I thought.
That's what happened.
Is that it's called the Nebulizer, right?
Is that what it's called? Nebulizer?
Nebulizer?
Haven't seen that movie in ages.
Can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I love the movie. I just forgot the particular name of it.
Which one did you like the best?
The first one. First ones are always better.
First
ones are always better.
Second one had Rosario Dawson.
It has Rosario Dawson in it, but again, it's trying a little too hard sometimes.
Don't all movies with Rosario Dawson rank higher?
That's a good point.
You know,
that's
she was in Clerks 2, and she managed to overcome a lot of problems with that movie.
Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief?
Including
she's Satan's wife?
Including the donkey. Anyway, Coach K all did make a valid point in there.
He's up.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah, especially after yesterday's show.
Get this man a towel.
I was going to say, I
get
saw
me a taco.
The thermostat just jumped up.
Yeah, get me a taco.
The thermostat just jumped up in here.
Right.
All right, so there's a couple things going on here, and there's variations to this conversation. And some of this, I don't feel bad for Duke, because this is the kind of team that you've decided to...
I don't feel bad.
...to attain. This is what you want to put on the court now, right? You've made the conscious decision to enter into the one-and-done waters, to get the most talented players you can find, understand they're going to go to the NBA, and
Neuralizer,
and work within the parameters of these types of players. Kentucky's dealing with this, too. That's what you chose. So you're going to deal with instances like what happened in New York, where the mind lasers come into play, and your rookies, who are going to go off to the pros next year, aren't going to pay attention, goes in one ear at the other, don't understand, whatever it is. And what I'm saying right now isn't anything that at Duke they probably don't already know. In fact, they do know that these are inherent problems to the way they've constructed their teams, okay? That being said, I am open to the discussion as to whether or not, over the long haul, these types of teams at Duke, at Kentucky, will result in more championships or longer runs in the NCAA tournament than not, because at some point...
Well, it's not going to be a long haul.
Not for this team, I don't think.
No, not for this team. I'm talking about the one-year player is going to go away, because I promise you the NBA is going to, within the next... Maybe with even in this CBA negotiation, they're going to start allowing players in.
Well, it hasn't gone away yet. Until that happens, I'm going to operate with what we have right now. And I do allow for the idea that when your players aren't necessarily invested in the program and they're just here for the year and there's a personal pride of not wanting to lose, but what are the stakes for somebody like Marvin Bagley at Duke?
There are none.
There's no stakes.
Right.
As opposed to the stakes for somebody like Grayson Allen, who's now been there for 4 years, or Joel Berry, who's now been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. The stakes for the likes of guys who have stuck around 2 or 3 years in a program and they get it are vastly different than somebody who's just biding their time because the rules dictate that they have to do something else before they go to the NBA. And you get things like this. But all that being said, I will say this about Coach K and the one-and-done transitions that they've done. They don't zone out for Carolina. They usually play pretty well in these games. For the matter of it not having stakes, they do play well in these games.
Yeah.
And I do expect them to win tomorrow.
I mean, I picked Carolina to win.
Okay.
And I picked Carolina to win because this is a team that has seen everything. Even though it's not the same team as last year, the players who are going to be on the court and will have a central role in deciding the outcome of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Have either won national except for Cameron Johnson, have either won national championships, they all have.
Well,
but they've played so many games together.
Cam Johnson's championship is making Kevin Stallings mad. So congratulations to Cam Johnson.
He's probably done that more than once.
Probably.
And look, Duke hasn't played well. I understand we had Jeff Capel on yesterday, and we didn't talk a ton about. The way this team has played. But I hear people say, well, no, they played okay. No, since they got back from Phil Knight's birthday party, they have played zero complete basketball games. Zero. Now, they've gotten away with it because they have ridiculous talent. And maybe they can get away with it against North Carolina.
Well,
they're going to have to.
The thing about Duke and the talent that they have, given the way the NCAA has played out this year, there's no dominating teams in the country.
Oh no, they could win a title.
And they could go really, really far if everything just kind of clicks and their talent and their offense overcomes all of their issues. And that talent, look, there's two things real quick that Carolina cannot account for. How are they going to match up against Marvin Bagley?
Oh, they can't.
They can't.
Not just Bagley, it's Carter too.
Carter as well. The other thing too is, what do we know about North Carolina's perimeter defense? It's suspect.
Right.
And this is ripe for Duke, which has been up and down with their perimeter play, for somebody like Grayson Allen to find his touch again. He plays well in these games too. Mm-hmm. He'll find his touch again. I just don't like the way things match up for Carolina against Duke.
Oh no, the matchups suck for Carolina. They're horrible for Carolina. I'm not sure that it's going to matter. I mean, I honestly, if you could tell me which two versions of these teams are going to show up, I'd like to know.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Time for Dumb Sports Radio.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Adam and Joe's Dumb Sports Radio.
When your body, wiggle your belly.
Here's Dumb Sports Radio. There are some hosts that want to take the day off. We don't do that. We work for you all the time. We're like the U.S. Postal Service. Don't make jokes about that.
At least until 6:30.
Right. It's a very good point.
When we take the last 30 minutes off.
And we'll do that today. We will coast home the last 30 minutes. But in our way of dumbing down the show, where we just throw out some ridiculous topic, give me your favorite memory ever, we throw a twist in it. We actually do some work. Dumb Sports Radio. Alec has questions. We have answers.
All right, so first item in Dumb Sports Radio today. Someone broke into Rob Gronkowski's house while he was playing in the Super Bowl. Gronk lives with two roommates, which I also find kind of interesting.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's the underreported aspect of the story.
Yeah.
He's got roomies.
Yeah. Which I can understand and I can't understand. Like, he has the money to live by himself. Usually only have roommates if you need help paying the rent.
Yeah, a little help with the bills.
But at the same time, it's Gronk and they're living sort of the entourage life. He can kind of foot the bill on these things. He's single, presumably.
Does he have a turtle?
They can have a great time.
Somebody in that house has to have a snake.
Who's his turtle? Yeah. Right?
Who's his E? Also, you know, and I don't get the feeling that these are teammates of his that live with him.
No.
But because that does happen from time to time.
It could be brothers, couldn't it?
Sure.
He's got like nine brothers.
Could
be. Something like that.
Could be, but it does happen from time to time with professional athletes where, you know, you have the veteran guy, like Jordan Staal, for instance.
Right.
He lived with Mark Recchi, you know, when they were in
Pittsburgh. Okay, yeah.
You know, like young guys will go when they, you know, so they don't have to live out of a hotel or something like that. And if they know somebody, they'll
Corey Stillman lived
live
in Eric Cole's basement for a while.
He did. Was he not sleeping on the skee ball machine?
I don't think it was next to the skee ball machine.
It was a futon next to the skee ball machine?
Yeah, so those things happen. I don't get the feeling that this is the case with the Gronks, with Rob Gronkowski and his buddies. They're just living the life in a big mansion. That's cool. Anyways, their stuff was stolen while they were out at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Gronk filed a report. But my question is, if you were burglarizing Gronk's house, what would you be looking to steal?
Well, I know I couldn't steal T-shirts because Gronk never wears them.
True.
Right.
In the offseason.
You could steal tank tops, though.
Probably could. I bet he has great salsa in that house.
he does like a Fiesta.
He is Fiesta.
That's why.
So I'd take all the good salsa out of there. That would be the thing I'd go for.
Really?
Yeah. She's got great stuff.
Freezy.
Your soy fiesta.
I believe that what they were really after was he has a collection of all of Shakespeare's works. They were going after that, obviously. I'll bet you if you went into that house right now, they wouldn't be there.
I always get the feeling that Gronk has like a basement full of like vintage Playboys. Like he's got every edition ever.
All the Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions.
He's got all of them in boxes.
and he'll show them
to you if you come over.
But he pulled out his favorite ones and he taped them to the ceiling of his room.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, right behind all of the empty liquor bottles that are up on top of the cabinets.
You know Gronk's house with his roommates, there's a couch that if you pulled it off the wall, it would just pour out beer cans.
What do you think's in the refrigerator of that house?
Probably like a
Like a gallon ping of milk.
No, but yeah, not a gallon of milk. It's like a eggs ping of milk left. Like it's a full gallon, but with just like a smidge left right, because the jerk didn't want to just replace the milk. I left a little bit in there.
There's some orange juice.
Yeah. Ketchup.
Yeah. Jar of pickles.
Easily.
For no reason.
Bear. Yep. I always wanted to have a bachelor fridge contest where we have people tweet us photos.
Oh, the struggle fridge?
Yeah. These are so many good ideas.
Yeah.
You know there's a carton of leftover Chinese food.
We should do that one day. Just send us your photos and we'll...
Of
your bachelor fridge.
It's a great idea. Well, that's many great ideas you've had already today, Alec. Are you writing any of these down?
I just
down?
Wish I knew how to execute them.
Have you written any of these down?
Write these things down, man. It's summer content. Summer content all over.
What do you mean summer? I want to do those tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, well.
You are one pathetic
loser. Adam, tomorrow is Duke, Carolina. We have to stop what we're doing to regale everyone with stories of Duke, Carolina.
Brotherhood versus the family.
Yes.
We're just going to play Sister Sledge all day tomorrow.
Sure.
All right, next item on Dumb Sports Radio today is National Signing Day.
Oh, man.
So the question is to you, what are you pitching recruits if you were the coach to come to your school and play football?
My pitch to recruits is I'm a grown man who's not going to try to talk like a teenager. How about that? Even though I kind of do that from time to time on the radio.
Why would you do that?
But I'm not going to hit you with, like, the emojis. I'm not going to go full-on athlete speak when I text you back. We're like, yeah, never in doubt. You equal baller. Devil emoji. Flex emoji. Eyeball emoji. Like, I'm going to talk to you like an adult. That's my pitch.
Okay.
That's my pitch.
That's
I don't know. There's something a little odd seeing grown men on social media trying to recruit kids, trying to get on their level. It's just a little off on me.
By the way, see, Baker Mayfield tweeted at a kid who chose Texas over Oklahoma today.
Oh, that's
really?
I'm sure that went
yeah,
over well.
Yeah, he did. He became that guy.
Really? Never tweet recruits,
He became that guy.
Never tweeted recruits.
Right, here's what I would promise
from
recruits.
A guy who transferred.
Right, from Texas right. Tech. If I were Nick Saban, if you will,
yeah.
This is not Nick Saban. I promise to torture you at practice. I promise to be bipolar at all times. I promise to promise one thing and do another. I promise all the playing time in the world, but then bench you for no apparent reason. I'm sorry. This is Kevin Stallings' plan of the day.
Oh,
my fault.
Man.
My
that's
fault,
freezy,
Cameron.
Freezy.
Icy.
My fault.
You are one pathetic loser.
All right. Last item on Dumb Sports Radio today.
One other thing, I would show recruits the juice bar. That is really cool on the visit, but you'll never use when you're actually here.
Right, because you won't care.
You won't care.
You want to get home.
Hey, check out this slide. Go down it once. You'll never go down the slide again.
So last night, as I'm coming home from the Hurricanes game, I'm listening to Freddie and Fitz on ESPN Radio, and I thought they described the Josh McDaniels situation perfectly by saying this was the groom who got too drunk at his own wedding and got cold feet on the altar and ran away back to his ex-girlfriend.
All
right. That's what's happened with Josh McDaniels, right? Since he just decided not to take the Colts job.
Wait a minute, are you talking about my best man there for a second?
Is that what happened?
Yeah, he got too drunk ahead of the wedding, and then I had to yank him out of a bar before a brawl broke out, and then he puked about 20 minutes before the ceremony.
Awesome.
It's pretty sweet.
Sorry I wasn't there.
You missed out, man.
Man. That's why I don't have a wedding party. All right, so the question is,
yeah,
name a time when you were left at the sports altar.
Ooh.
I guess it's not really much of a question. It's just a request.
The last time I was left at the sports altar.
I wasn't aware we were going to a personal story.
Do you have one? Because you're more tied to this sort of thing than I am. So I'm going to have to – I need time to think on this one.
I have probably a few.
Yeah.
There was a certain 20-point lead in the first half in Minneapolis in 2001.
Okay.
It was that.
Yeah.
That disintegrated. And I do contend that Maryland didn't blow a 20-point lead because Duke cut it to 10 at the half and 10 points is nothing in a college basketball game. But Duke just destroyed Maryland from that. They outscored Maryland by like almost 40 from the point where Maryland had a 20-point lead. That was certainly that was devastating. Matt Harvey going out for the ninth inning in 2015 didn't help.
Not Matt Harvey yet. He's not here drinking a beer, smoking a cig?
No, I got everything I needed out of Matt Harvey.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, kind of moved on from him before then. But 2015, Matt Harvey going out for the ninth inning. I understand why he did and why they allowed him to, but that was painful.
It took me a second. The only time I allowed myself to get in, like, attached to something, actually, it's personal to the show. We're up for the 2015. Was it 2015 or the 2016 Sports Station of the Year? We were nominated.
I think that was 15.
Was it 15? Anyway, so I thought, at first I'm like, okay, that's cool, but it's whatever. We're not going to win. But that night when they were doing the ceremony, I was refreshing Twitter like an idiot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't care.
I was refreshing Twitter. Like, I allowed myself to think, well, maybe if we will win it.
Just that'd happy be, to be nominated.
That'd be pretty awesome if, like, one, you know, 99.9 The Fan, one Station of the
What's
Year.
That, the Marconi?
Yeah, it was a Marconi for Station of the Year, for NAB Station of the Year. So I'm refreshing, and they finally got to our category. I'm like, there it is. All right. What's going to happen? And then I saw the next tweet. It wasn't us, and I was disappointed.
Devastated. At
is it Detroit?
Detroit won. Detroit does an amazing job. But I was disappointed, Adam. Disappointed.
You were jilted.
It affected me.
You were jilted.
It affected me.
No question about
Left
that.
Left at the altar.
Sorry to hear that. Mm-hmm.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
When you made it personal, it became harder to come up with jokes. Because these things do hit home. We were that close.
That close, man.
Although the Matt Harvey thing is not technically accurate. 2001 was different. 2001 hurt. Made 2002 that much sweeter. And then I stopped caring. Listen to the hurricane. I do.
Now you're dead inside.
I don't care.
That's why it took me a second to think about these things, because I am largely dead inside when it comes to these things. That's why it was kind of neat.
It was 2016.
2016?
Yeah.
For the NAB? Probably. Oh, well. We lost. It's no big deal. So, Eagles win the Super Bowl, and I was with some people where it mattered to them. So that was cool to see. And as I explained to my friend who was really excited about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, I was like, yeah, man, this must be nice because I'm so dead inside. This is a foreign concept to me. None of this stuff brings me joy because I just look at it from a, all right, how am I talking about this tomorrow? So there you go. That was the last time I felt jilted.
Was it? Listen to the Hurricanes on the Fan. Friday night, 7:30, Canes host the Canucks. 30 minutes prior, Alec Campbell has Storm Watch. It's presented by the Raleigh Beer Garden.
Can't wait to see the changes.
Well, the changes were for the last game.
Oh.
After the game, Alec has the aftermath presented by the John Heaster Automotive Group. Carolina Hurricanes skate on 99.9 The Fan.
Did I blink and miss it?
Yeah, they weren't drastic. They couldn't be drastic.
Oh, okay.
This team doesn't do anything drastic.
Gotcha.
Including win those games.
No, they lose drastically. It was drastic fashion last night.
They're kind of used to it, man. You got to be good at something, right?
Yeah.
They're good at losing games like that.
Woo.
West Durham, next.
You've been listening to the Adam and Joe podcast from 99.9 The Fan. Don't forget that you can stream the show live at WRALSportsFan.com and our new WRAL Sports Fan app in the iTunes and Google Play Store.